We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
So everyone say hi to Amanda.
Hello.
What are you in for? No, just So for those that don't know Amanda, why don't you share a little bit about yourself?
As you've heard, my name is Amanda. I have been coming to Metro Church for almost 10 years now, and God has done some really incredible things in the last 10 years, but I'm excited to share something that he did more recently this morning.
We had to say just one. And if anyone knows Amanda's life and her story, it hasn't always been easy, but God has turned up time and time and time again.
Yes, that is true. The story that I want to share this morning is actually, it started last year. I had been living in an apartment that God actually blessed me with. I shared that testimony so many times here. And there's been a lot of turnover with the owners of the property. So I had a new landlord, and he was like, hey, you have a really great track record. You know, you seem like an awesome tenant. I'd like to update your apartment. We're going to do some renovations, and I need you to move so that I can do that. And it's March of 2020. I'm like, I'm sorry, what? You think I'm just going to get up and go? Okay. So I'm looking for an apartment, and then I'm like, so I'm an essential worker, so I'm working all these hours trying to find an apartment. I'm a single mom trying to, you know, raise a teenager. And he's like, yeah, just go. I'm like, okay. So apartments are being rented out before they're like really even posted. I found one and it was like, oh, this was posted 30 minutes ago. Awesome. I'm going to call. I'm going to get an appointment. Go look at it. I call on my lunch break and she's like, oh yeah, somebody actually called and they just rented it. They didn't even want to see it. I'm like, what am I going to do? The struggle is so real right now, right? So then I had this great idea. I'll just buy a house instead. So I got pre-approved for a mortgage. I know.
Natural out of thinking.
So I'm looking at all these houses and people are paying like $10,000, $15,000, $30,000 above asking price in cash. And I'm like, okay, cool. Thanks guys. Like, what about us little fish? Right? So that did not work in my favor at all. And I had people, you know, at church praying for me, believing with me, and they're sending me all these links. So check out this place. And I'm like, thank God for my church family, because I would have missed so many different opportunities. Fast forward to June of 2021, I'm still looking for an apartment, still looking for a place to move. My landlord was super awesome. He was like, yeah, you know, I'm not going to kick you and your kid out, but let me remind you, you're a month-to-month tenant. And I'm like, okay, you're not going to kick me out, but you're just going to threaten me instead. That's cool.
Not cool
at all. So I had been hanging out with some friends from church, and I was talking to somebody, and she's one of the people that had been praying with me. And, you know, she's asking how things are going, and I'm like, it's terrible, and, you know, explained everything that I just said. And we, in Revolve, there's kind of like this running joke that I claim to be God's favorite. I know it's unbiblical.
She doesn't claim. Everyone calls her God's favorite because the way God shows up in her life.
That's partially true, too. So, you know, we're just talking about how I'm God's favorite. And my cousin actually got me this mouse pad that says, Jesus loves you, but I'm his favorite. And I wholeheartedly claim that. Like, every morning when I wake up, I say, thank you, God, for being a shield around me and that I am still your favorite. And you guys can do that, too.
How many parents have children that do that? I'm the favorite, you know what I mean? It's good, though. I like it.
Yep,
I like it.
That's exactly what I do. So, you know, her and I are just joking around about that. And she was like, Amanda, that is not biblical at all. I'm like, I know, but I still say it because I want it to be true so bad. So she reaches out to me the next day and she was like, I will not claim that you are God's favorite. However, one of my tenants just reached out to my husband. They are buying a house and they're moving out and the apartment is yours if you want it. So after much time of seeking, it was just right there. God's like, hey, you know, there was so many trials and errors during that time too. Like, I would get struck with anxiety out of nowhere. There was one day I came home early from work and the key to my door wasn't working. And I was like, oh my gosh, he changed my locks. He kicked me out. It wasn't that. My daughter had put her backpack on the back of the door, and the weight was too heavy, so I couldn't get in. So it was like these irrational thoughts were coming when it wasn't reality at all.
But it becomes your reality. Like when you're in those tough moments and you're in those struggles, and anybody that's ever tried to buy a house, anybody that's ever been almost on the verge of losing your home and having to find a new place with a timeline, it is a very serious, very real problem. You know, and oftentimes we don't know where God's going to turn up and how it's going to work, but God already has a way.
He sure does. And it was a long, you know, over a year of seeking, but now the apartment that I'm in, it was such a blessing. It's bigger than the space that I had before. It's actually a 3-bedroom instead of a 2-bedroom. And there's so many other people that have testimonies that are linked to my testimony. So it was really cool how to see, like, how God webbed everything together. And it's not just my blessing, it's other people's blessing too, but I get to reap the biggest benefit of it.
Well, and I'll tell you right now, when I think about the story, I also think about that person who had the property that immediately was about to not have a tenant anymore. How many people understand that that's stressful? Anybody? I mean, maybe you're not a landlord, or I mean, I'm not, but what I do know is that that's a stress. And so her blessing ends up blessing the person who, in the moment they found out they had a problem, it was immediately fixed. They immediately received an amazing tenant, and you had a bigger property than you were even expecting, and it just fell into your lap. And I think that's when you find coincidences happening, it's God's fingerprints all over it.
Yeah. It definitely is. So very blessed, very excited.
And so just all these stories, I want to remind you, the whole point of us sharing these testimonies is for you to remember that you can believe God for big things in your life. And even if you don't think they're big things, if they're big to you, they're big to God.
Yeah.
You know, we go, oh, well, you know, I'm not about to be displaced. Mine's not a big deal. You know, I'm not about to lose my home. Mine's not a big deal. That's not true. If it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to believe God to see the miraculous. Don't you believe that? Come on, give her a huge hand for sharing that. That's so good.
Thank you.
So we have an amazing couple, a family that they had to go to the Midwest this week. And so we actually videoed their testimony of Phil and Katie Dolezal and little baby Jack. Let's check out these screens.
Hi, I'm Katie.
My name is Philip, and we've been with Metro Church for 3 years. And recently we went through quite the testimony to have Jack with God, and I just want to share our story with you.
And our story kind of gets started with Jack. I was 32 weeks pregnant, and I went in to go get an ultrasound, a regular scheduled appointment, and all of a sudden I was told that my blood pressure was extremely high and that I was going to need to be admitted into the hospital. And that was really scary because obviously all this is during COVID and a lot of the hospital regulations had changed. And Philip wasn't really allowed to be there for the most part, so it was just me by myself getting ready to have a baby 7 weeks early.
Which was very, you know, just nerve-wracking. We didn't know what to expect and certainly didn't think through this happening as with a normal pregnancy. Everything was fine. I was registering snowmobiles because I wasn't allowed at the appointment with COVID, and everything's been fine, so it's a normal day, and we're just kind of going through life as normal, and I'll talk to you later when I see you. And then the next thing we knew, she was being admitted to a hospital, and I was like home with the dog and our baby shower the next day, and just really not knowing how to take the next step. And, you know, we reached out to Metro Church, and Metro Church was there to pray for us and support us and, you know, continue to check in with us. And, you know, we were able to go through the weekend and go through a couple days until Jack was born. But that Sunday, the church prayed for us up at the altar, and we were able to, you know, be a part of the service actually through the streaming, which was awesome.
Yeah.
We were able to actually be in the hospital watching the service together.
It was nice. And well, I was in the hospital sitting there by myself to be able to, like, stream on church and be like, okay, like, you have family there and you have more people supporting you behind the scenes. And, you know, even during times of COVID where you're sitting by yourself in a hospital room looking over, you know, the city of Boston, that, you know, you have your whole community rallying behind you.
So after his birth, he was, you know, Katie got to hold him for all of 20 seconds, and off to the NICU he went. And, You know, that really started the next challenge of, you know, when does Katie get to see Jack, and when do we get to start to be a family and you know, move on to this next deal, because we were separated by floors between us and doctors and teams. You know, really the biggest journey of how do we get Jack home started. We never once thought about the money and what it takes to bring a NICU baby into this world. We just said whatever needs to happen, because that's what's going to happen, and we trusted that God would provide. We were still told no, that we wouldn't be covered under insurance, and we didn't really have any place to go. And her mom got the same answer of no, you know, just Jack's not covered. And, you know, about 15 minutes later, Katie's mom called us and said, no, you know, the insurance called us back and said that Jack's actually covered under the insurance. They made a mistake. Bill came to right around $100,000, and luckily we were, you know, luckily able to just have to pay a $500 deductible through, you know, God's intervention. We were lucky enough, you know, to have God come in and step in and say, no, he's going to take care of us here. So
I think there was a lot of uncertainty going through this, you know, whether Jack was going to be okay. How often could we see him, especially it was winter, so what was the weather going to be like to get there? How were we going to pay for it? And there was a lot of different things going on in our mind, and I think we really had to lean on God through it. You know, I had a birth plan that got thrown out the window, you know, through the insurance. You know, I don't have $100,000, that's 100% for sure. And even, you know, once we knew he was going to be okay, just being in the NICU for a month, and you know, the special cares unit, you know, driving back and forth, you know, I didn't know that the longest part of having a baby in the NICU was them learning to eat, and you really have to, you know, lean on God, because there's nothing else that we could have done in that situation. If we didn't have God to lean on, we would have been in a very bad situation, or a worse situation. It was a bad situation that, you know, God made to be good.
Yeah, that's our story, and you know, we want to just really thank Metro Church for coming by our side and praying with us and believing in miracles. You know, they really do happen, and God is moving in this world, and we would just encourage you to make sure in your time of need that you reach out to the church and ask them to pray with you and to really align yourself with the church as miracles happen, and believe in God, because He will deliver you in His timing through all of this.
Come on, how good is that? And I remember Phil and Katie were talking, and they were here, and I remember praying for them. And here's the big thing. Again, I just want to remind you, when coincidences happen, they're not coincidences. When the insurance calls back and says, oh, we just made a mistake. No, God intervened. God intervened. And so I just want to continually remind you, we're hearing, you know, it, all year I try and pull and hear, and I'm hearing these stories that I don't have enough time to share all the stories, but I just want you to be encouraged to believe not only does prayer work, but prayer works for you if you pray, if you believe God for it. And I understand there are times where you're like, hey God, I've been praying forever. Sometimes God's answer isn't just yes and no. Sometimes it's slow, not yet, right? There are other answers, but let's just continue to lean in and believe God for it. Hey, Rodrigo, how are you, sir?
Good, how are you?
You're very sneaky. Sneaky, sneaky. So for those that don't know, this is Rodrigo Banks, amazing man, and he's got a cool story that he wants to share with you. Come on, introduce yourself after I just did.
All right. My name is Rodrigo Banks, and member of Metro Church family for 3.5 years now. And the last week message, when like Chad preached about like that moment when you know like that was God, and I start sharing the story with him outside, and said, like, hey, you mind to share this next week? I was like, oh, come on. You don't really have to do this.
Be careful what you tell the pastor.
I wish I could have done a video, but
you'd have to go out of town for that.
Well, most of you know, we used to own a restaurant here in Marlboro, and we decided to sell the business in the middle of March, April. And so most of you know, it's not easy to sell a business, but when people start find out and they like asking me, hey, what are you going to do? You're selling a business, what are you going to do after this? I was like, I don't know. I have no clue. But I was certainly know that God already has something for me, and I was just trying to focus one thing at a time. And I was like, I'm not going to stress and worry about the stuff that's going to come in later. So when we finally sell the business, I remember I was talking to my wife. I was like, I want to stay in the same kind of business, but the only problem, I'm so tired to get home late and miss weekends. And it's a lot of things that I want to get involved in, and I can't. Like yesterday, in the men versus, it was awesome. It's something like, I can't do it. And she's like, do you want to try something else? I says, listen, I think I'm not going to have to do it, because it's impossible to work in the food business and have weekends off and night off. That's and anyway, so after we sell the business, I call up one friend. And I was sharing with him that I sold the business.
By the way, you sold the business and got your asking price.
Yes.
That's a miracle in and of itself. Let's start there.
In the middle of the pandemic, too. We went through a lot.
Well, in the middle of a pandemic, when look around, so many businesses that you used to go to, they're not open anymore. So when so many restaurants are closing, to be able to get full price for a restaurant, that's something too, isn't it? And so I just wanted to put that in there.
And then I call up one friend, and the next day that we close, and I was like, wow, so now what? So I just shared with him, listen, I sold my business, if you know anything. And it's like, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to look for another business, but something that doesn't drain me that much. And he's like, come and see me. So okay. So I went there. He's a real estate guy, and he bought one restaurant just to invest his money a couple years ago. But he's like, he needs help. He has no clue what to do. He was having somebody take care for him. And he says, that guy is no longer here. Would you want to come and join the team? And I was like, oh, man, I just get out of one thing.
I just left this. Why would I want to get back in it?
But I only need you in the mornings. And Monday to Friday, like 10 to 4 or 5 o'clock.
So time out. So real estate guy buys a restaurant, does not know how to run a restaurant, needs to find someone who knows how to run a restaurant, but doesn't expect them to do the normal hours of someone that runs a restaurant?
And then he's like, because I can be there 5 o'clock because I want to get my other business is it needs me over there, but 4 or 5 o'clock I can come and you just like set it up the way you want, and I can keep five to close and be here in the weekends. I was like, fine, but I was thinking, not gonna make enough money to support my family
off of those hours.
And then he asked me what I want, and I tell him what I need to be there, and he said, okay, that's fine, I'll give you whatever you want. And I was like, okay.
So time out.
At that moment that we talked last week, I knew it was God.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I get in the car, so excited, and I tell my wife, listen, this is what happened. She's like, no way. Yes, I'm going to be able to have a dinner every night now. And then it's like, oh, she's like, more happy than I was. I was like,
that's a good thing. When your wife wants you home, that's a good thing. Yeah, but so now you told me you sold a business that you owned. You just got an offer for 10 to 4, running a business that's not yours, but he gave you the exact same money that you were making when you owned a business.
Yes, almost the same money, yes.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'd like to almost make the exact same money doing half of the work. Anyone else?
And I that
Unlike
moment
being your
past, I know
bro,
was
let's
God.
Let's be honest.
And that moment I know was God, and I reminds that conversation that I was having with my wife, because as soon as I get in the car, I was thinking, because I remember saying to her, this is impossible. And then when I get in the car, it's just like feel like God says, nothing is impossible to me.
And that's what I want the takeaway to be. Come on, give me a huge hands. the big takeaway that I think about here that I really want you guys to hang on to is when he felt he was supposed to sell the business, nothing else made sense, but he knew he was supposed to do it. He had that peace about going and moving into the next season without knowing what the next season was.
Right.
And how often are we on the edge of something uncertain and we want God to show us the other side of the door before we walk through it? We have to trust that God is good and he already knows how he's going to work it out even when we don't. And we have to walk by faith, not by sight. Come on, did you get something out of that? How awesome.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. In this moment, I'm going to call my wife, Pastor Julia, up to the stage. Come on, give her hands. So, this is weird. We've never done this, where we just talk about something amazing that God's done in our world. And, I know what I kind of feel like? I feel like Oprah. You get a miracle. You get a miracle. Isn't God good? I'm sorry. But you get a house, you don't have to have a business, but you can still make the money you need with family hours, and your family wants you home. What a miracle. Okay, now, this is a great transition.
I'm Julie, and I've been here for 21 years in January.
And don't tell me missionary dating doesn't work. Wouldn't recommend it for the faint of heart. No, it's okay. Julie, you have been here for 21 years, and we have had the worst year of our life.
Yes, we have.
Yeah, so why don't we begin with, it's been the worst year of our life, yes. But God has still turned up.
He is good. So most of you know my dad passed away. So I'm going to talk about my brother. And basically, my dad died in my brother's arms. And after my dad passed away, within 4 hours after the coroner came and took care of that stuff, my brother asked me to take him to the hospital because he was sick, and I took him, and because of COVID you can't go in past triage with the person you bring, so I brought him in, and the nurse talked to him, and the nurse is asking him how he's feeling, and he's just saying, I feel like I'm dying, and he's in a lot of pain, and all I could do was rub his back and tell him I love him and you're going to be okay. And, you know, I did the thing that parents do when they promise you're going to be okay. And after I said it, I'm like, I can't promise that you're going to be okay. But the nurse was like, all right, it's time to take him back. So I hugged him, told him I loved him, and then I just had to watch them take him away, thinking I'm probably never going to see him again. Like, this is going to be the last time. And
because the severity of their sickness had gotten to a place where it was really serious the moment we brought him in.
Yeah, and the other hard part was knowing that my dad was like his best friend. He just died in his arms, and I can't even be with my brother to support him in this time. He had to go into a cold hospital room alone, thinking he's dying, and I can't comfort him. And so as soon as I left, I started texting people in our church, all my friends, whoever prays, and like, you pray for my brother that he'll be okay. Within hours of him being there, he was put on a ventilator, and it was doing 100% of his breathing.
And within just a few days, it was doing 100% of the breathing.
Yeah.
I just gotta, like, think about that. A machine is breathing for you. Just that's what we're hearing from the doctors every
day.
Yeah,
so really scary, and just like every day, you know, my mom and I would take turns calling the nurse, and it was always like, I mean, he's okay, but he's not doing good. And they ended up having to paralyze his body so that they could have full control over it, and it would help loosen up his lungs so he wouldn't be fighting breathing, trying to breathe on his own. At one point, he was so sick, they wanted to put him on an ECMO machine in Boston, which basically takes the blood out of your body, reoxygenates it, and then puts it back into your body. But there were no beds available, and so they just decided to continue treating him with what they were doing. They would roll him on his stomach for like 8 hours at a time to help loosen his lungs more, and then bring him back. And one of the cool things was they asked what kind of music he liked, and so I told him some of the music he liked, but then I asked him to play worship music in there so that God's presence would be around him, because we didn't know if he could hear or not. But having that constantly in his room for him, knowing that God was there, the days went on and kept getting worse. And I struggled. I'm like, God, I believe you can heal him. But there were moments of like, it's literally a God, this is only going to be you that can bring him back. Because right now he's not doing good, and I'm not sure how this is going to happen without you. And then one day we get a phone call, and they said,
well, first of all, I remember for weeks we've been praying for him. He was part of the prayer requests. We had people praying for him. The intercessory prayer team was praying. It was constantly updates and prayers and believing for God just to make a way, because we had even gotten to a place where we were worried whether he had the conscience to be able to be aware of what was going on and even have the desire and the will to want to live, because he just lost his dad and his best friend in his arms.
Yeah.
And so we were in this hard place where we're praying. And here's the thing. There's got to be a desire on the other end. Mm-hmm. There's got to be. And so we're praying, God, let him see the life that there still is for him, and the love and the nieces and all of the things that, you know. And so it was a hard moment. But, yeah, we kept praying every week here. Yeah. And I know so many of you did as well for us.
Yeah, it was a stretching in my faith, and the most I've ever been stretched. And then one way we got a phone call that they said for 2.5 hours they would turn the ventilator down just enough so that he could start breathing on his own. So they did it for 2.5 hours, and he started breathing on his own with a little bit of help. And they continued for a few days doing that, and each day he got stronger. And after 14 days of being there, they told us the ventilator was coming out. And that
which was unbelievable. And you guys celebrated with us.
Yeah.
We shared that news. I mean, it was unreal.
Yeah, so the ventilator was coming out. He was answering questions. He was smiling. And then one of the really cool things was that we were really concerned about doing the funeral without him, because I really wanted him to be there. And we decided that we're going to continue on with the funeral and he will understand. And the really cool thing is, the day before the funeral is when the ventilator came out. So the church that we did it in live streams. And so he actually got to watch the funeral from the hospital room,
which
was really important to him to be a part of that. You know, they said that he was going to have to go to rehab. Basically, for every day you're on a ventilator, it's equivalent to a week. So close to 3+ months of intense rehab. He was going to be really sick. That he's good, he's off, but it's going to be a very long road to recovery. And so we went to go visit him. And so
we were talking even with your mother about, you know, Family Leave Act, how she may need to shift to become, you know, help and caretaker at this point when he comes out. So now we're talking about life altering many lives as well. And so we're believing God. Okay, we're thankful for the miracle that we're already seeing, but there's got to be more. And don't ever feel bad to ask God for more. That's the thing. Sometimes we feel like, oh, that's just enough. You don't need to do anything more. A true parent loves the child enough to do as much as needed. So lean into that relationship with God.
Yep. And so we went to go visit him, and we could see the shakiness and all that stuff. And so after we left him, within a couple days, we found out he was going to inpatient rehab. And when he was in inpatient rehab, within like, I think, 3 days, he got a little card that says that for the whole time he was there, he had a
fall risk
in the hospital. Bracelet. And then when he got to the rehab, but within like 3 or 4 days, they took the bracelet off and gave him a card, and he could walk around by himself and free range to the place and walking outside. And the next week, after a week of being there, they evaluated him and told him he could go home.
So we were supposed to expect up to 4+ months of rehab, and now he's being released in a week. And how many know there's the other side of things where you're like, is he getting the care he needs? Should he be released this early? You start to go on the other angle, and you're like, no, we're believing God for a miracle, and this is in line with the miracle. So stop doubting the miracle. Yeah. Stop talking yourself out of what God's doing too. And so now he comes home, and he's doing a little bit of home rehab for a little while.
Yeah, so he did a week of home rehab. And then after that 1 week, they told him, you're good. You don't need to have rehab anymore. And so after 1 week of rehab at home,
So, I mean, think about this. They tell us his kidneys are failing. We're expecting the worst situation. We're believing for the best, trying not to expect the worst, but we're fallen. We think these ways, don't we? We're thinking we may be having to plan two funerals, not one. And then he comes off the ventilator. He's supposed to go to rehab for, four. They'd said 4 to 6 months based on the amount of time he was on the ventilator. Now it's a week in rehab. Now it's a week at home. Now he's just good, and we're going, what?
Yeah. Yep, and the doctor told my mom he was a miracle, that not many make it out of this, and with no rehab needed, like, just literally that walking miracle. And he's now, like, going for walks, he's driving again, and like we truly believe, like you had mentioned about my dad passing, that my dad passing saved Matt's life. If my dad had not passed, Matt may have passed also.
Yeah, that's how close it was. And I kind of, the silver lining in this is what father wouldn't give up their life if their children had a chance. And that's kind of the angle that our family has had to really hold on to here. But we have seen an absolute miracle in our family, and we thank God for it. Can we give God a hand for that? And we wish Matt could be here with us, but he did want to send this video. Let's check it out.
Hey, Metro Church. You just heard my story from my sister. I really was that crazy. And I just wanted to thank all of you guys for everything, all your prayers, and everyone in my family who's been praying for me, and everyone on social media that found out about it. And I also wanted to tell you guys that prayer, especially prayer said with confidence, can really truly bring out miracles. And I just wanted to tell you that my prayer for you guys is that you always have a true, solid prayer life, and that that God will enlighten you to bring, and He will always lead you to the fullness of His truth. So I once again want to thank you guys. I really appreciate all your prayers, and I'm doing great now.
Exciting is that. Can we give them a huge hand as they go back to their seats? Come on, thank them for their story. Thank you. My hope is that you're encouraged in that. You know, I'll tell you, God doesn't love one person more than He loves another, regardless of how many times someone says they're their favorites. And why do I say that? Because I want you to know right now that God, He cares about you. He's as invested in you as He is any of these stories that you've heard. The difference is how we see God. If we see God as this mean old man on an anthill with a magnifying glass, then we're going to miss His goodness. We're going to miss the coincidences that was Him, not your luck. Right? God, He loves you and He's for you, but He wants you to come back into His family.
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church.